morning. You can take a seat. It's good to be here together. Please grab a Bible if you can. We are going to study God's Word this morning, and we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. So, if you need a little bit of help finding that, find the book of Psalms. It's really big. It's right in the middle of your Bible, or you can use one of the Bibles that we have sort of in the row. All right, Ecclesiastes, find the book of Psalms, go right to the book of Proverbs, go a little further to the book of Ecclesiastes, or even better, you could just go to page 471. All right, page 471 in the Bibles that you're using that we're letting you use today. So, listen, we're in a series called The Gospel for the Turns of Life. And the point of it really is that we go through transition in life. We go through a lot of change in life. Life is full of it, right? There are so many turns in life, some sort of soft turns, some very sharp turns. And it's sometimes really hard. Sometimes it's a good change in life, but even good changes take energy and emotional work to adjust to those changes. And so how can followers of Jesus sort of go through the turns of life in a way that is graceful, in a way that the people around them don't feel the wake in a way that's hurtful to them? How can we sort of apply the gospel to the turns of life? That's the hope for the sermon series. And so last week, we looked at the never-changing God. That's how we kicked off the sermon series. We looked at the immutability. I know that's a fancy word, but that God is not given to mutation. He does not change. I recommended a book last week, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. Hey, maybe one of you that was here last week thought, you know, I might get that book, but you didn't do it this week. Why don't you do it this week? That's a great book, The Knowledge of the Holy, about God's attributes. But we looked at the never-changing God. That's a great place to start when we think about the turns of life, that God is a rock. He is a solid rock that we can fall down on when life is moving around like crazy. So this week, we're going to look at ever-changing seasons of life. We're going to go from one sort of side of the spectrum of the unchanging God all the way, because we're not God, right? Hold your hand up if you're God. Okay, no one did. We're not God, right? So we're going all the way to the other side of the spectrum, where we live, and that is where there's constant change. There's always transitions. The ever-changing seasons of life is the title of the message this morning. Now, before I jump into that, I just want to say this, because we have different personality types, right? Some people love change. Some people do not like it. They want stability. They want security. And we're not going to talk about personality types necessarily today. Here's the thing. We should all fundamentally, in a very real way, want change, right? I mean, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the world and humanity has been broken and shattered in ways that only God can repair. And so that's why we pray. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we, on a fundamental level, we all want change. So remember that as we talk about change, that it is something that is needed. Now, I want to say this, though, as a disclaimer, because as I get into this sermon, and I'm trying to, my heart here is that we see that change is important, that change is coming, and that we not be so thrown off by it. So listen, I want to say this, though, as a disclaimer. Leaders love change. Sometimes leaders thrive on change. They want things to change all the time. And then other people that are sort of connected to those leaders, they don't like it as much. So the majority of people, I think, are averse to change. So the reason I'm saying this is that we're not getting into that today. Both personality types are important and helpful and needed. And leaders need to lead like Jesus, who is always bringing his disciples along with him. And so this is not sort of a, all right, all you people that don't like change, get ready. You need to be okay with it. That's not the heart of my message this morning. But there is this aspect of change, of seasons of life, that you and me need to land on and get settled about. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes for that this morning. Peter says to the Christians that he's writing to in the New Testament, he says this. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes on you, as though something strange were happening to you. And so I want to kind of change that. I'm not changing scripture, but I think the heart of this sermon is, beloved, let's not get so surprised when change comes upon us, when the seasons of life turn and change on us, as though something strange were happening. God has spoken in his word about transition, about seasons. And so that's where we're going to be, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, page 471, if you're using one of our Bibles. We're going to look at four lessons for the wise for the turns in life. So let me read the passage, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And I'm also going to read verse 11. And then let me pray, and we're going to jump in. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 and verse 11. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. In verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and that is exactly what we want to spend time in today, God. Not our thoughts, not our assumptions, but your holy word, Lord, speak. Speak to our hearts, speak to our decisions, speak to what we think is wisdom, and give us real wisdom. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus, Lord. We just pray that he be lifted up in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message this morning is Ever-Changing Seasons of Life. So hopefully you found Ecclesiastes 3. That's where we'll be. We're going to look at verse 1 for our first point, and here it is. Recognize the principle of God-ordained seasons of life. Right? Recognize the reality of seasons, God-ordained seasons for life. Okay? There are seasons when it comes to television shows, right? Am I right or am I right? There are, aren't there? That's right. There are seasons in sports. There are seasons in nature. There are seasons in life. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 makes that abundantly clear. God wants us to see this. This is a book, Ecclesiastes, that is about wisdom, and it is a wise thing to recognize as a follower of Christ the principle of God-ordained seasons of life. There actually are four seasons in a man's life. I heard this, that there are four. There is the season where you believe in Santa Claus. There is the season when you do not believe in Santa Claus and you go through that. There is the season when you dress up as Santa Claus. And then there's the season when you actually don't need to dress up because you look like Santa Claus. Those are the four seasons of a man's life. No, not really. But the point here is that there are seasons in life. God ordained seasons in life. So look at verse 1 again. It's so simple but important. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The New American Standard translation, sometimes more literal, translates season as appointed time. You know, when God created the universe in Genesis 1 verse 14, it says, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. Let them be signs for the seasons. God has set it up with seasons. And we're to recognize that if we're wise. Acts 17, when Paul is preaching to the philosophers of his day at Mars Hill, he tells them, God has made every nation on the face of the earth, and he has, listen, keyword, determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. It's interesting, the word here, do you see it in verse 1? It says, under heaven, for there is a for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Do you see that? Do you see it? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks a lot about being under the sun. For there's nothing new under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. Not Jesus the sun, S-O-N, okay, we're talking about S-U-N, the sun, like sunshine. So there's nothing new under the sun. That's common in Ecclesiastes. It's a theme throughout. But here it's under heaven. In Ecclesiastes 5, it says God is in heaven. The point here is under God, under the heaven where God reigns and rules. Under heaven, there's nothing, there's a season for everything. There's an appointed time for everything. It's God ordained. So we are to recognize the principle of God ordained seasons of life. That's the first point. Second point. Second point this morning, and we're going to have a long illustration at the end of this point that I hope is going to be so practically helpful for us. So just be ready for that. All right, here we go. Second point. Four lessons for the wise for the turns of life. Recognize was number one. Number two, embrace. Embrace the contrast and transitions between the seasons, from verse 2 through 8. What do you see when you read verses 2 through 8 of Ecclesiastes 3? Do you see all of those things? Or there's a time for this, there's a time for this, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to this, a time to this, time to this, time to this, right? There's a lot of that. Some of it you don't control. You don't control when you're born. You can control a little bit, but you can't completely control when you die. Some of it's completely out of your control. All of it, to some degree, is in God's sovereignty and out of our control. But there's a sense in which the writer of Ecclesiastes, I believe Solomon, is giving us this so that we realize it. We see the seasons, and we can wisely sort of lean into these changes and transitions and know how to walk wisely. This isn't just fatalistic determinism here. This isn't just like, here's the seasons, all right, you have no control, bye-bye. No, that's not what's going on here. But what do we have here? We're not going to go through this very carefully because that's not the point. This is a poem. It's a very famous poem, right? We've all heard this before. Ecclesiastes 3, time to be born, time to die, time to plant. I believe there's a very famous song written on it. You know, I could make a song right now on it. I could sing this right now. This is a poem. There are here 14 unique contrasts that are given. If we were to go through and count very carefully, 14. And these contrasts are interesting because they are complete opposites, like north and south, birth and death, break apart, build up. And it's like the point of it, it's just to sort of talk for a second real technically, like literary, okay? The point of it is to say, hey, north to south and everything in between. That's the point. The point is to say, birth to death and all of life. Building up and breaking down and everything in between. The point of it with all 14 of these is to cast this picture of the fullness of life. And that God has ordained seasons for all of it. And that a full life includes all of these things. So that's the point. There are 14. Now, how many days are in the week, right? Is it seven? Is it seven? Where do we get that from? Genesis, right? So God, he's got this thing for the number seven, right? In Jewish sort of history, the number seven, it depicts fullness, perfection. So we got here 14, that's seven times two. I'm not going to get weird, start using a laser pointer and some charts, but I'm just saying we have fullness times two here. Seven times two, 14. It's this picture of the fullness of the seasons of life. That's what we have here, these 14 comparisons. This and this and everything in between, and then all together, it's abundant. Perfection times two. Fullness times two. One scholar on the book of Ecclesiastes says, and I'll just read this to you, life is composed of joy and sorrow, building and destroying, living and dying. Each comes at the proper time. This reminds us that we're creatures of time and not yet able to partake of the joys of eternity. No one can be happy who has not come to grips with the reality that life is full of changes and sorrows, as well as continuity and joys. We must accept that we are mortal and we are living in time. And so we have to embrace the contrast, this and this, and the transitions from this to this of the seasons of life. This is very important for the gospel, for the turns of life. This is very important for living as a wise Christian and honoring the Lord with our lives. So I want to illustrate this. I want to talk through this very practically at the end of this point two here. So you'll see in your outline, if you got one, there's a little stair-step thing. The seasons of life are just sort of spelled out there. Just using the seasons of nature, I want to think about the seasons of life. There was a study done by some social scientists at Yale in the 1970s, and they showed that there are four major seasons in people's lives, most people's lives. Those major seasons are sort of can be traced by using the four major seasons of nature: spring, summer, fall, and winter. And so I want to kind of walk through these, and here's what I want to do with these. I want to talk through each season, and I want to talk about what a man and what a woman should be about in that season. And so we're going to go through it. And here's why I'm doing this. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says that there is for everything a season. And so we want to know how God has orderly and fittingly laid these seasons out. We want to be people walking through life with a map, so that we can stay on course and so that we can finish well and hear Jesus say, "Well done, faithful servant." Ephesians 5 says, "Look carefully how you walk. Be wise." It says, "Making the best use of the time." Listen, what is best in your 20s may not be best in your 30s. What is best in your 40s may not be best in your 20s. And you have to, as a Christian, understand seasons of life. That's why I'm sharing this. I just want you to know that. So look, first season, spring, age 0 through 22. And the spring is all about growing. It's all about growing. Plants are growing. We are growing. It's ages 0 through 22. Now listen, the ages here are approximate, okay? It could be changing. You could be like, you said 22, I'm 23, so I'm not in spring. And you might still be in spring. Okay, it's approximate. But look, men and women, it's really the same here in a lot of ways. Now, there are definitely distinctions for boys and girls and men and women. But here are the important things in this season. Growing in character. Growing in your values. Identifying your gifts and talents. One of the most important questions to answer in the spring season is, who am I and who am I not? Who am I not? And that may be a more important question. Who am I not? So that you can focus in the later seasons of your life. Getting pumped about a vision for your life based on biblical manhood or biblical womanhood. I think that's very important in the spring. I do. Being pure sexually is a focus for men and for women in the spring. And serving, being a servant, kingdom service is important. So these, of course, these are, I'm adapting these for Christians. This is not the Yale study, okay? Like, but it traces, it follows the same pattern. But let me say this too. As we continue to go through these, I just want to say this as a disclaimer. If you remain single through these, okay, you're not, you don't like stay up in the spring. You don't like never get out of spring, okay? Just very clear about that, because there are a lot of single people. And Paul in Corinthians says that it's better to be single. So what happens, though, is you still go through all the seasons of life, but just all the ones that are very family-related would not check that off, at least the marriage and having children parts of those family things. So just know that you're still going through, you're still tracking. All right. Now, there is a transition between spring and summer. I grew up in Florida. I never saw the colors turn. It just was always sweltering hot, okay? So North Carolina is kind of nice because you can see the turn of the seasons. And just like that, there are transitions in our lives. We go from one season to the next. And if you don't deal with your life well and do things the right way in one season and you go into the next season, what do you have with you? You have little suitcases with all your baggage that you didn't deal with. And we all have baggage. But it's so important to faithfully honor God in one season of life. And then as you make that transition, it's a transition that's graceful and you're honoring the Lord in the next season of your life. So there are these transitions. The transition from spring to summer is the transition from 17 to 22. And the big question in this transition is, am I going to grow up or am I going to get stuck in extended adolescence? You know? And just be a boy that, you know, a grown man, you know, that still acts like a boy or a boy who could shave. Like, I mean, am I going to grow up or am I going to be lost in extended adolescence? That's the question in that transition. So then the next season is summer. It's summer. You're working hard. You're hot. It's sweaty out. It's the season of summer. Ages 17 through 45. Maybe you're engaged at the beginning of this. You're newly married. You're married with preschool children. You're married with grade school children. You're working hard in your career. You're competitive. You want to get established. You're building your home. It's the summer. It's busy. It's hot. You're tired. This is a season of life. For men, what is important in this season? To win at work, to work hard, to win at home, to manage your time well, to win at home too. To lead, to provide, to protect your family, to spiritually lead and disciple your family, to grow and invest in your marriage, to serve the kingdom where needed, to deepen and make new friendships. For men, that's so important. So if you're a guy, I hope you wrote something down there that was for you. Here's for the ladies. In the season of summer, 17 through 45, in the early part, maybe you focus on your career. You get started like everyone. You grow, if you get married, you grow and invest in your marriage. You build your home. If you have children, no matter what, you need to be there for your children at that preschool age. It's a short season. You have 50 years to do other stuff. It's important. You got to be there. If you're working, you have to assess, how is this impacting my family? You have to grow and adapt as a parent. You want to serve in the kingdom as you are able. Not necessarily exactly as you're gifted or as you want, but as you're able. You've got later seasons coming. It's so important to see seasons. You see what I'm saying? We're really going to get into this. Deepen and make new friendships. All right. There's a transition. So you go from spring, you're growing, summer, you're hot, you're working hard, you're exhausted. Sometimes in summer, you don't even realize how exhausted you are. You know, like when you've been working so hard, you like cut yourself, you didn't even realize you're bleeding, you come inside and someone's like, hey, did you know you like your foot fell off? And you're like, no, I've just been out in the yard doing work. And it's like, yeah, man, that's how some people come into this next season. They've just been killing it. And the transition from summer to fall is oftentimes a transition of healing and reinventing yourself. Or it could be self-destruction. Some call this the midlife crisis. But the fall is ages 40 to 65. You're married with young adult children. You're single and in your career, sort of established. You're married as an empty nester. You're 40. You're 50. You're 60. Early 60s. So, men, what's important here? To slow down, to reflect, to renew, to make strategic moves in your career, in your family. Mentor your kids, mentor younger men, invest in your marriage in new ways. You don't want to be that guy that said, hey, I said I love you when we got married. I figured you just knew it ever since. No, you have many marriages to one woman. You want to invest in your marriage in new ways. Kingdom service. Earlier, it was where needed. Now you think it's where is strategic. Where is strategic? It's a season. It's a long season. It's okay to serve where needed for a season because you've got this long season to serve where it's extremely strategic. Deepen and make new friendships. Now for women. Guys, that was for you. Hope you wrote something down. Now this is for the ladies. We're going men first, then ladies, because these are kind of challenging. If it was all just like super, you know, awesome, it'd be ladies first, then men, because ladies first when we're doing really nice and great things. So here we go. Women, this season, right, 40 to 65, mentoring your kids and younger women maybe. You're preparing to let your kids go and launch them. You're in your career or you're re-engaging with your career maybe that you started out at the beginning of summer. kingdom service that now really utilizes your gifts and your things that you're excited about. Deepen and make new friendships. Invest in marriage and in new ways. And I got to say this just as an illustration. I didn't ask permission for this, so I hope it's okay. But I think my wife, Kristen, is just a great example of this. You know, of understanding seasons, right? She's got a master's degree. She's got over 2,000 hours logged to have a professional license in counseling in the state of North Carolina. She could be making more than me. She could be doing a lot of things well. She's probably one of the best musicians in our whole church. And yet, those are the things that really make her passionate and excited. But she's in the spring. Or she's in the summer season. She's in the summer season. Correction there. She's in the summer. And that season for us is about pouring into our four little girls, which she's also passionate about. But the way you get through that is you realize, I don't have to have everything right now. I can have those other things in this really long season that's coming next. And it's what helps you as a follower of Christ to be wise and to make decisions in light of the seasons of life. So I just love that. That's a blessing to me. The next transition, as we go from fall to winter, the next transition is from 60 to 65, you go through this transition, right? You might think of it as retirement or it's just a transition. But the question in this transition is, will I be accepting of my life up until this point and grateful, or will I be a bitter old man or woman? That's really the key for that transition. This is the winter. By the way, I didn't say this, but the spring, everything's green and growing. The summer, hot and sweaty. The fall is full of color. You're in this sweet spot season. I know you probably saw that. The winter, things are sort of shifting down. You're losing energy, but you are a sage. Proverbs 20:23 says, the glory of young men is their strength, of old men, it's their gray hair, meaning their life experience. So in this stage, you're retired, you're a grandparent, you're maybe a widower or a widow. You're wrapping up your career. You're thinking about how to finish well, to leave a legacy. You, men and women, a lot of things the same here, but you generously invest in your grandchildren, if applicable. You mentor young men. You help them, men that are in any of the seasons before you. Kingdom service is about finishing strong, leaving a legacy. You deepen and make new friendships. Of course, again, you invest in your marriage if applicable. And then here's the final transition. It's death. Because the next season is a glorified saint. And the final transition is death. And what happens when you're a glorified saint is this. You are then vindicated before the Lord for living your life with wisdom. Maybe at times counterculturally, but with wisdom and honoring Jesus Christ with your decisions and with your seeing how seasons play out and how you want to make the most of your life. What an awesome moment that will be. Point three. So we've been going through this, right? Point two was long. I told you there'd be a practical illustration there. So the first point this morning, to recognize the principle of God-ordained seasons in our life. Point two, to embrace the contrasts and the transitions between these seasons, to understand it, to look at it. Now point three. Point three comes from verse 11. To appreciate the beauty in my current season and maximize it. To appreciate the beauty in my current season and to maximize it. Look at verse 11. It says, after he said all of this about the fullness of life and seasons, he says in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He's made everything beautiful. This fullness of the seasons of life, the ordainedness, the contrast, the transitions. Solomon then reflects on the poem he just wrote by God's inspiration, and he says, God makes everything beautiful. And we're to see that. We're to have that perspective on our seasons in life, to see the beauty of it even in the hard times, you can see the beauty of it, or you can see the beauty of how the hard time with the rest of life makes it all beautiful. So another way to translate beautiful would be appropriate. But here's the application here. The point, again, appreciate the beauty in my current season and maximize it. Now, here's what I want us to do. As I just went through all the seasons, where are you? What season are you in? What transition are you getting close to, or have you just come out of? Don't do it just based on your age. Do it based on how I described each one. Where are you? It's important to know. What's coming? What's down the road? What's 5 years ahead? What's 10 years ahead? How are you being wise, being strategic to honor Christ with your life? That's so critical. You see, we talk a lot about, I don't want to waste my life. I want to do something significant with my life. Well, then don't waste this season, because life is a bunch of seasons. So Romans 8 says, those who love God, all things work together for good. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of God. You can be certain, whatever season you're in, God is using it to make you like Christ. In Psalm 90, Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I referenced this already. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Just write that down if you want to have that in your notes. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your seasons. Understand, be a steward of your season. Here's another point under this point. Followers of Christ should be people who know what time it is. Not you know, hey, it's Matt, do you realize the sermon's over 40 minutes right now? Like, do you know what time it is? Like, no, not like the watch. Like, what time it is, what season it is. It's very important. Followers of, you know what? Jesus always knew what time it was. And I love that, right? Because I don't. I failed. All these things we're talking about today, I'm like, man, I need just a season right now just to get back on the season plan. Like, I mean, but Jesus, I have his righteousness. He takes my sin. He dies on the cross for my sin. And he gives me his righteousness, his always on perfect timing life. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry in John chapter 2, his mom's like, Jesus, we ran out of wine. You're going to make some wine, miracle boy? No, it didn't say that. But listen, Jesus is like, it is not my hour. My hour has not yet come. He always knows what time it is. He knows what time it is. But then in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the end of Jesus' life, in Mark chapter 14, he hears the footsteps of Judas and the guards coming, and he says, behold, my hour has come. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus knows what time it is. He's always on time. We're not, but he is for us. God's sovereignty over the seasons of life is enumerated in Ecclesiastes, but it is displayed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You know, in Galatians 4, it says, at the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so we might receive adoption as sons. You know what Romans 5 says? I love this. It says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel. It's amazing. Like, we're not on time. We're off on seasons a little bit. But Jesus is always on time. And he has pleased the Father with his constant, perfect punctuality in his person and in his work on the cross for us. And he gives us his righteousness, and he takes our sin. And then we can go and sin no more. We can follow him by faith. We can be Christians who are passionate about being wise and being on time as we follow Christ. All right. So this has been great. Like, we could cut it off here, but I want to finish Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Because there's a very important final point. Here's the point four. trace the unmet longings of my heart to God and to the gospel. Look at verse 11 again. Now again, Solomon here is unpacking this poem. And verse 11 is part of that. And he says, we already looked at the first part. I'm going to read it again. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Do you see that? Now listen. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. I want you to think about this. It's almost like Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11 is amazing. Just think about this. It's like life is full. There's all these seasons. It's so great. There's a time for everything under heaven. The seasons of life, it's full, it's amazing, it's so much. It's 7 times 2, it's 14, it's so much. It's beautiful. But then what does he say? But you can't fully enjoy it, can you? It's not enough. Even though it's so much and it's beautiful, there's something inside of each person that says, it's not enough. He's put eternity in the hearts of men. There's a hole in our heart that only God can fill, that only eternity with God can fill. I love this quote from Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis. It says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duck wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there's such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire, like a desire for eternity, which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it to suggest the real thing. Augustine says, our hearts are completely restless until they find their rest in God. He set eternity in the hearts of men. So think about this. We've been talking about seasons, right? We talked about all these seasons. But really, in a very profound and fundamental way, there are also two seasons. There's time and eternity. There's time and eternity. And the most important day of your life is the last day. Is the last day. When you stand before God and you give an account for your life, a holy God. It says in Hebrews 9, it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So think about this. There are these seasons. There's time, and then there's eternity. What are we living for? What are we living for? I have an illustration that I want to use here. Just to be clear, this is a climbing rope. We're talking about these two big seasons, time and eternity, right? So let's just pretend that this rope is eternity, okay? So we're just going to, you know, it's pretty long. It's not really long, but it's kind of long. Like, it probably won't go out of the room, but maybe it will. Let's see. Let's just kind of come out here and get some help. Ow. Can you just kind of take that back to the back of the room, see how far it goes? Let's just see. That's pretty long. Might go out of the room. Can you find someone and tie him up? No, I'm just kidding. All right, that's good. Thanks, Al. Yeah, this is a pretty long rope, right? It's pretty long. Okay, so the rope is eternity, but it's really not nothing compared to eternity, right? This is short. This is just a little rope going through a small sanctuary. But this tape that I've put on here, can you see this black tape? That's our life. Okay? Here's spring. Can you see spring? See it? Here's summer. Oh, I got to make sure I get to do everything I want to do in summer. Here's fall. Here's winter. All right, so we live wisely through these seasons. We think about them. We understand them wisely. But why would we live as if this is all there is? God has put eternity in the hearts of man. He said that it is appointed for a man to die once and then to face judgment, to stand before God. And we all know it deep in our hearts and in our conscience that we're made for more than this life, that we're made and that there is eternity beyond this life. The most important day is the last day. The most important reality is where you'll be for eternity. All the stuff, I got to do what I want to do right now. I can't wait. I got to serve in this way. I got to make this decision, and it's got to work out now. And I mean, part of that just needs to be solved by understanding the seasons of just this life, right? But a lot of it, too, needs to be thought through within the implications that it's just this. It's just this. And we're going to be alive for eternity. And so how do we make sure that we're with God for eternity and that when we face God and stand before God, that he looks at us and he says, I see my beloved son, Jesus Christ. I see his righteousness because you have put your faith in Christ. Not just a decision at a certain point in time to put your faith in Christ, but you have lived that faith out by following him, by living in light of his word, by walking with wisdom through the seasons of life. I see you as a person who trusts in my son, and so I see him. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. So we want to recognize the seasons. We want to embrace the transitions and the contrasts. We want to navigate those with grace. We want to appreciate and maximize the seasons. And lastly, we want to trace the longings in our heart that are not satisfied. Not to going in to confront our friend for not satisfying them, but trace them to God. Trace them to the gospel and find eternal life in Christ.